The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
It was evening on the day Jesus rose from the dead, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So on this great feast of Pentecost, we want to continue to explore this great gift of God. Jesus called the Holy Spirit the gift of God when he spoke to the woman of Samaria by the well. When he said to her, "If you only knew who was asking you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The gift of God. And 2 weeks ago, I preached on the Holy Spirit as that activating principle in our faith. Just like a prepaid credit card. It's wonderful to have. That's what Jesus acquired for us. But it's no darn good unless it's been activated, right? And that's the role of the Holy Spirit, to activate our faith, to make it alive, to make it real, to make it meaningful and purposeful. And today I want to give you some analogies using metaphors to help us understand what this action, this role of the Holy Spirit, the effect of the Holy Spirit is meant to have in our lives. What's it like? Because the Spirit is spiritual, so we don't see the Spirit directly, but he definitely is meant to have an effect in our lives. And there's several human analogies we can use to help us understand and describe that effect. And I came up with 7. There's many more. And the ones I've come up with are fairly dramatic, I guess, to make the point, but the Holy Spirit can work in dramatic and powerful ways, but he can also work in very gentle and sublime and subtle ways too. So take these analogies with that understanding in mind. But that being said, the Holy Spirit is all powerful, the very life and power of God. And so he can work and wants to work very powerfully in our lives and in the world. So here are 7 kind of analogies. Using our imagination, what's the Holy Spirit like? And I was just reflecting on these. Many of these are related to Scripture, and some of them are just from my own reflection and my own experience. So the first one is this. Imagine yourself lost in a desert. Imagine yourself in the desert, lost and weary and exhausted and parched. No water, and it's hot. The sun's burning you, and you're thirsting for water, and there doesn't seem to be anything around, and you're afraid you're going to die of thirst and exhaustion. And then in the distance, you see an oasis. You make your way to this oasis. And there are the beautiful palm trees and lush vegetation. And in the very middle, there's this amazing pool of fresh, clean, spring-fed water even bubbling up. And you just throw yourself into the water and are refreshed by the water. And you just gulp in this water because your throat and your body is parched with thirst. Well, that's the Holy Spirit is like. That's the first analogy. The Holy Spirit is like that water that quenches our thirst, that refreshes us. Number 2, again, imagine that we're lost in a wilderness now, but in the north, in the dead of winter, and it's freezing cold. And we are freezing to death literally, and we're lost, and we know we're going to die because the cold is killing us. And then in the midst of this winter scene in the, let's say, a winter forest, we come across a cabin in the wilderness, and we walk into this cabin, and what do you know? There's a fire blazing in the fireplace. And we just cast ourselves down before that fire, and we feel the warmth and the comfort and the consolation of that fire revitalizing us. And we're so grateful for that warmth after the cold that we've been experiencing. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit is like, the fire. Third analogy. Again, imagine yourself lost in a forest. It's not in the north, it's in the summertime. It's a green, luscious forest, but it's at night. It's pitch dark, and you've lost your path, and you can't see anything. There's no moonlight, and you start to hear the wolves and other animals, and you're afraid you're going to be attacked, and you don't know where you're going. It's completely dark. And then all of a sudden, you come across a magical torch on fire. And you pick up this torch and you start wielding the torch. And now you know you're safe. No creature's going to come near you. And you've got this torch. You're protected by the torch. But the torch also lights your way. And after a few minutes, you're able to find the path again. You're able to know your way home because of the light of that torch. Well, that Holy Spirit is like that torch, that light for our path, that protects us and guides us into all truth. Number five, imagine you love sailing and you've saved up for years and you've bought this amazing sailboat. This is your first summer now out on the lake, ready to sail. It's got this beautiful mast. It's a big 40-footer or whatever. And you get out there and you're ready to sail. And there's no wind. It's a dead calm. And you're just sitting there and you're waiting for the wind and nothing happens. Day in and day out, there's no wind. And you're getting so frustrated because what a waste of money and what a waste of a beautiful sailboat. And then finally one day, you get out there and it's calm initially, and then a mighty wind rises up and fills the sails. And your sailboat for the first time starts to glide across the water. And you are just filled with joy because your sailboat is finally moving and you're experiencing the glory of that. Well, the Holy Spirit is like that mighty wind that fills the sails of our lives. Number six. Imagine that you're kind of somewhere by yourself with no food, except you're not starving to death because you've got lots of stale bread and cold cabbage soup. And so you're alive and you can keep living on this soup and stale bread, but you know, it's no fun at all, right? And then one day, someone arrives out of the blue with boxes of chocolate and crates of wine and other delicacies and desserts and rich food. And you're able to feast on this great meal. And the Holy Spirit is like that chocolate, that fine wine that makes our life not just survivable, but pleasurable and fulfilling and satisfying.
I think I've got two more, six and seven. Now, imagine you're born blind from birth.
You cannot see. You've lived half your life this way, and all your life long, people are telling you, or they're just commenting as you're out and about, oh, what a beautiful day. The sun is glorious. The trees are in bloom, the tulip festival, the flowers. Oh, what a great sunrise. What a great sunset. What a beautiful mountain. Oh, the moon looks so glorious today. And you cannot even imagine, because you have no concept of what these things look like, and you don't even have a concept of color, because you've been blind from birth. And then one day, miraculously, you're given the gift of sight. Your eyes are open and you can see everything. And you're bombarded with the superabundance of beauty of the world, color and life and flowers and trees and sunsets and sunrises and beauty of so many things. The Holy Spirit is that gift of sight, like a gift of sight. And finally, imagine you've lived many years. Let's say you're 40 years old and you've been lonely all your life, feeling absolutely unloved. No one has ever really loved you or cared for you. You've never had a boyfriend or a girlfriend. And deep in your heart, you desperately want to fall in love. You want to have that experience. And one day, it happens. You fall head over heels with a boy or a girl. You fall in love, and you experience for the first time what it's like to be loved by someone. And you experience for the first time, in a pure and innocent but passionate way, your first kiss. That's what the Holy Spirit is like. St. Paul says the Holy Spirit is the love of God poured into our hearts. And even in the Old Testament, in the Song of Songs, there's a beautiful love poetry there, and the bride is meant to represent each one of us, and the groom is meant to represent Christ. And in that book of the Bible, the bride cries out, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Your love is better than wine, sweeter than honey." So this kind of imagery, again, is in the Bible, but the kiss of Christ is the Holy Spirit. The love of God, when we experience it, not just hear about it, when we feel it for the first time, that's the Holy Spirit. It's all of these things, like seeing for the first time after being blind. You know the amazing song, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." I see spiritually. I can see for the first time. All of these, again, are analogies using human experiences. But the reality is very, very real, brothers and sisters. This is what the Holy Spirit is meant to effect in our lives. Now, again, I say it, these are very dramatic images. The Holy Spirit works in very gentle and subtle ways too, but all the same, the Holy Spirit is the activating principle of our faith. Before we've experienced the Holy Spirit, God is far away. God is distant. God is just someone we're told to believe in. Jesus is just a person of history. The sacraments, Mass, doesn't really mean much to us, kind of boring and dead. Once we've experienced the Holy Spirit, it all changes. Like in these analogies, it all changes. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit. We need to pray for the Holy Spirit. And even this week, Pope Francis, on Wednesday, at his general audience, was speaking about the Holy Spirit. And he had some beautiful words to say. Let me just quote from a few of the lines of that talk. He said this, Pope Francis: "Let us ask ourselves, am I open to the Holy Spirit? Do I pray Him to give me light, to make me more sensitive to the things of God? Let me ask you, Pope Francis says, how many of you pray to the Holy Spirit every day? It will be few of you, I suppose. But we must satisfy this desire of Jesus and pray every day to the Holy Spirit that He might open our hearts to Jesus. We have to let ourselves be flooded by the Holy Spirit's light because He introduces us to the truth of God, who is the only Lord of our life. You cannot be a part-time Christian, a Christian in some moments, under some circumstances, for certain decisions. You are a Christian in every moment. The truth of Christ, which the Holy Spirit teaches and gives us, involves always entirely our daily life. Let us call upon Him more often. Let me make this proposition to you. Let us call upon the Holy Spirit every day so that He will bring us closer to Jesus Christ. So let us pray. Holy Spirit, we call upon You this day, this Feast of Pentecost, when You were first poured out in great abundance upon the church as a mighty wind and as tongues of fire, and You transformed these men into bold witnesses, and You gave them gifts and graces to witness and testify to You, and You changed their lives completely. We ask You, Holy Spirit, this day to come upon us, to come into our hearts and lives. We recognize that we need You. We desperately need You so that our faith may be real and meaningful and fulfilling. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful who are gathered here this day. Fill my heart. Fill the hearts of my family. Fill the hearts of our parish and our community and of the entire church. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray.